Which means it's 1930 UTC where you live. Don't believe me? Check your clock. My name is Tobe, and you are listening to the Dubious Gravity Committee right here on Anon Radio. As I take a look at my conveniently placed agenda, I notice that the first topic for today is the recent discovery of gravity waves. And this is all the information I have. That's all I was told. Oh, scientists have discovered gravity waves. Okay, well, great. Except I'm going to need more information because that statement doesn't actually mean anything. For example, does that mean that gravity is a wave? Oh, that's great. Now that we know that gravity isn't a particle anymore, we can definitively say gravity is a wave. Is that what they're trying to say? Or are they trying to say that we have observed gravity behaving as a wave? Because that's a big difference. Let's take light, for example. Light, is it a particle or is it a wave? Well, we do talk about frequencies when we talk about light. That seems to imply that light is a wave. And yet, we also hear about the light particle known as a photon. Well, if we have photons, then the light is a particle, not a wave. Then why are we, if light's a particle, then why are we talking about frequencies? Well, it turns out that in the case of light, it is a particle that behaves as a wave. And that is a lot different than being just a wave or just a particle. So, when it comes to gravity, and scientists have detected the presence of some gravity waves, what does that mean? What are you telling me? Are you telling me gravity is a wave? Or gravity is something that behaves like a wave? Because those are two very different things. If gravity is in fact a wave, that opens a whole new box of problems. And the first thing that comes to my mind, being the wave dork that I am, if gravity is a wave, then what is its medium? In order for a wave to propagate, there has to be a medium. There has to be something in which for the wave to form. Okay? For example, when we talk about waves in the ocean, the kind of waves that we like to surf, the medium of those waves is water. It's the water that is creating the wave, or it is the water that is being waved, so to speak. And then there's sound. Sound is a wave, and the medium of sound is air. All sound is moving air. My little vocal cords vibrate back and forth, and I modulate that vibration with my throat and my mouth to create different sounds that you hear. And these vibrations in turn vibrate the air, and the air vibrates, and that causes the element in the microphone to vibrate, which is then turned into an electrical signal that is then sent to you and then turned back into an acoustic wave, blah, blah, blah. So we say that the medium of sound is air. All waves have to have a medium or else they're not waves. So that's the big question. If gravity is a wave, what is its medium? Right. Okay, now we're thinking. Now some of you are probably thinking, oh, well that's easy, space. That's where gravity is, it's out in space. Well, the problem here is that there isn't anything in space. That's why we call it space and not something else like air or dirt or Thursday. So if space is a vacuum and there's nothing there, that's not a medium. Nothing can't be a medium. A medium has to be something. So if gravity is a wave, what is its medium? The ether? The phlogiston? Yeah, those have all been disproven. We know those don't exist. So anyone? Anyone? Bueller? The medium of gravity? And the medium isn't the only problem. I can think of a few more problems. If you've ever listened to this show, you've heard me talk about heterodyning things. I like to heterodyne waves. I like to heterodyne ultrasonic waves down into my hearing range so I can hear things that are up in the ultrasonic range. And I like to build radios, and they are very concerned with waves and things like that. And heterodyning, for that matter. You don't own a radio that doesn't heterodyne. Unless, of course, you've built anything that I've told you to build in the last week or so. Then, yeah, that's a different story. But not where we're going right now. If gravity is a wave, then that means it can be heterodyned. And if gravity can be heterodyned, that means it can be summed and subtracted. If gravity can be summed, that means its amplitude has been increased. If gravity can be subtracted, then that means the amplitude can be reduced. This seems to imply that gravity is no longer a constant. And isn't that what we've always been told? Gravity is constant. It's one of the universal constants. Well, if it's a wave and its amplitude can be changed, it's no longer constant. If its amplitude can be varied, if something is variable, then it is not constant by definition. So, if gravity is a wave, that means it can be heterodyned. That means it can be modulated. And if gravity can be heterodyned, that means we can take the difference and now gravity is less. This seems to imply now that we can invent anti-gravity, or that we can reduce gravity, or that it is theoretically possible. How we're going to go about building a gravity oscillator is beyond me right now, but then again, I haven't thought about it, so, you know, ask me tomorrow. Also, it makes me wonder that if gravity is a wave, what is its frequency? Waves have a frequency because they have a waveform. They are oscillating. And so, what is the frequency of gravity? Can that frequency change? Does it ever change? If there are gravity waves being produced by something, and if we can measure these gravity waves, that means we can measure their frequency. What are the frequencies of the gravity waves around me? I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. If gravity is a wave, then there's such thing as gravitational pressure. How is that different from gravity itself? And if gravity is a wave, that means it's subject to the Doppler effect. That means it's subject to redshift. That means it is subject to sonic booms. Compression. The compression of a wave so much. Wow, I wonder what a gravitational sonic boom is all about. Can't imagine. Maybe that's what the Big Bang was. Who knows? I can measure the pressure of sound. I can measure the pressure of an ocean wave. I can measure the pressure of a slinky compressing. So how do I measure the pressure of gravity waves? Most curious about that as well. Oh, gravity, you're so mysterious. Will we ever understand you? I love gravity so much. If it wasn't for gravity, my skateboard wouldn't work worth a damn. Gravity, Jeez. I don't think people appreciate how great gravity really is. I mean, how much more fun can you have than gravity? I love gravity so much. Where else are you going to get all that free acceleration? I mean, there's the solution to our energy crisis right there. Build a car that runs on gravity. Yeah, maybe they won't be super fast. I mean, they can only accelerate 9.8 meters per second per second. But still, it's free. Free, I tell you. And there's got to be a way to harness all this free energy in the universe. Quick, somebody call Pons and Fleischmann. If it looks like a duck, and it sounds like a duck, draw your own conclusions. Obviously, I'm sitting here with my duck call today. I do love my little duck call. It's just a toy duck call. It's not a real, like, duck call for hunters. So I don't know how accurate of an imitation of any particular species of duck this is, but it doesn't matter. I just like it because I understand how it works. I understand how quack waves work. Quack, quack, quack. I know how these waves work because I'm a big fan of waves. Along with quacking up a storm, I'm just sitting around waiting for the Champions League games to start. Madrid plays today, and that game is going to start here in about 60 seconds, potentially less. So, while I go watch the kickoff of this game, why don't you listen to some of these sound waves?
we would make gusta four cuatros of your most bueno jamos, por favor.
Gonna be Radio Kitty?
And welcome back. You've been listening to Anon Radio. This is the Dubious Goals Committee, and I'm Tobe, your chairman. Oh, earlier in the show, we were discussing gravity and how fun it is. But surely we've got something better to talk about now. And obviously I can't sit here and talk about the Champions League games that are on TV right now, because I know you're already sick of that. Cabin fever sets in. Makes me go a little bit crazy. So guess what I did today? I went out. It was kind of warm. It was very wet because all the snow is melting, but I went to the Arboretum, one of the places that I always go. You've been there. You've heard the shows that have been live from the OPPD Arboretum. And I went there today to look for some dudes. I wasn't really expecting to see any dudes, but I thought, you know, I might run into some deer, because the deer show up a lot earlier than everybody else. So I drove over there, and as I was pulling into the parking lot, there were some other cars, which surprised me. But of course, these are people just, you know, killing time during their lunch hour. And as I was pulling in, I noticed that one person, turns out it was a lady. At first, I thought it was a nun because she had a scarf on her head and it kind of looked, well, you know. Anyway, the lady sitting in her orange little car was playing a mandolin. I saw the head of the... Oh, wait a minute. Was it a mandolin? No, it was something else. Anyway, it was a small stringed instrument. I could see the head of it and the tuning pegs. And when I noticed, and I just started looking at her, trying to figure out what she was playing, then she looked at me and was like, uh-oh, and I just gave her the thumbs up. It's like, yeah, jam on, sister. And then I turned around to walk into the woods. I did not find any dudes, but I found some places where dudes were. Found all sorts of tracks and footprints of all kinds of little dudes, like mostly rabbits and squirrels. As I was walking through the forest, and as I was coming out of the forest at the other end, where that tree with that yellow jelly mushroom is, I came out of the forest there and I looked to my right, because that's where I often find deer, and there was none, and I didn't even see any tracks. And so I looked left, and I saw a bunch of weird stuff in the snow, so I kind of tried to get a little bit closer, and I was like, aha, it looked like the snow was cracked. You know how when you're when you're on top of a mountain and an avalanche starts and you see the snowpack crack and then everything, like 2 seconds later, everything else sort of collapses? It looked just like that, except I wasn't on top of the mountain and the grade was probably about 2%, so I knew these weren't cracks, and I started looking at them, and suddenly I realized what they were. I was looking at tunnels. Could actually see tunnels made by small rodents, probably a shrew or a vole. And there was just this network of tunnels in this snow. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And at the Arboretum, people will often bring their dogs. And there were dog tracks tracking one of the tunnels. And where the dog stepped on the tunnel, you could then see the tunnel in the footprint. And I was like, wow, that's really neat. So I took some pictures of that. And I thought, maybe if I stand here long enough, I can see a little dude go running through these tunnels. Because it's been warm enough that, you know, the tops of these tunnels are now very thin, less than 1/4 inch. And they have thawed and refrozen, and so they're much more transparent than the rest of the snow. And that's why you can see these tunnels, and it's wild. I can't remember ever seeing anything like this. I've seen grass tunnels that are very, very similar to this, which is, and that's what shrews like to do. And so I'm thinking, yeah, this is shrew or vole type of thing. Very wild, very trippy. I might have to go back there tomorrow and watch those some more to see if I see any little vole subway cars zipping through that little ice subway. Or maybe the voles and the shrews were having bobsled races and they were making bobsled runs through their tunnels. It's not very downhill. Again, bobsledding, another very fun gravity-powered sport. How fast do those bobsleds accelerate? Oh gosh, I just don't know. While I was having fun looking at these super duper vole tunnels, I found some other tracks. I found a textbook possum track. And when I say textbook, I mean, you look at a picture of what possum tracks are supposed to look like in a tracking book, and this is exactly what I found. And this never happens. You never find the perfect track. You always find, you know, half of a track, or you find, you know, it's screwy somehow. Okay, you never find the perfect one because there's never a perfect medium. Well, apparently the snow was perfect because a possum was walking along here at some point this morning before I got there. The tracks were that fresh, and I could see where he went and everything. I was going to follow him, but I kind of decided not to. And this perfect track was a walking gait, and when they walk, their footprints, their hind footprints and their fore footprints are very close together, almost on top of each other, but just not. And this perfect track that I found, you could see the hind footprint, and then perfectly sort of tucked up against it was the fore footprint, and it was perfect. You could see the little knobby fingers, and they were all spread out, and you could see his opposable thumbs. Oh, it was better than too good to be true. So I took a picture of it, and now I have this picture of the perfect possum track. Oh, I was so happy. I'm still happy. I like possums, but you already know that because you've seen the pictures of the possums that come to my restaurant. And when I say my restaurant, I mean my deck, my back deck, where I run my free restaurant for animals and birds. That's the other thing I like about spring. It's right around the corner. I can have my back door open, and I can put the bucket in front of the door so my cat Pippa can sit on the bucket and look out the window and see all our friends out there, like the possums and the raccoons that come to eat at the restaurant. It won't be long now. Well, hell, if it gets to be as warm as they're saying it's going to get this week, which is, you know, like mid-60s, I'm going to have to open the restaurant. I could have visitors on my deck in the next couple days, which means I can keep my door open, which means the kitty is going to be super entertained. And that's why everything exists, is to entertain cats. And boy, if you don't believe that, just take a look at the internet. You know, come to think of it, I was sitting in here the other night and I heard some commotion on the stairs right outside my window here. Some flumpity flump flumps. There's a little access to get under the deck from the stairs, and the previous owner of the house had stapled up some hardware cloth, you know, some large metal screening to keep dudes from getting under the deck. But dudes have pulled that hardware cloth loose, and so there's plenty of ways for my little friends to get under the deck these days. And when they go up this sideway, and then when they wedge themselves between that hardware cloth, it, you know, it goes flampa, 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 and I can hear it. And then I think, oh, some dudes are out there. And the other day I heard this noise and I sort of ignored it. Normally I go running upstairs into my kitchen so I can see out to see who's on the deck, but I did nothing for some stupid reason that I don't know. What was I thinking? Where's my reactions? Jeez, has the long winter made me forget what that sound means? Oh, I almost feel terrible. But I don't. Oh, where are we on the tea situation? Oh, look at that. We've got barely a deciliter left. Oh boy. Oh, it sure tastes delicious though. Oh, I sure like drinking tea. We're getting down to the dregs though. Oh boy. Put the lid on it. That thing's done. I killed it. There is no more tea left. You know what this means, don't you? That's right. This means that it's time for me to make some tea. Because I don't have anything else to do.
Oh, but you have to do this show.
No, I don't. Not any longer. Look at the clock. Yeah, getting pretty close to 20 o'clock UTC, isn't it? And that means that my time here on Anon Radio has come to an end. You've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee that airs every day at 19:30, so be sure to tune in tomorrow. My name's Tobe, I'm your host and chairman. I forget what I was talking about today, but if I told you to do anything, don't do it, because it's probably illegal. And that means the only thing I've got left to tell you is this. Bye, 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 bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line.